Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
About 2 years ago, I was pastoring a church in Humboldt Park, Missio Dei, and things weren't going so well. You know, post-pandemic, and it seemed that we were dwindling and that the writing was on the wall for us to close. And it was a very difficult thing for me to do and my family to do. All I've known is being a pastor for the last 13 or so years. And now I had to find something else. I had to adjust my life. And it seems as if God was opening doors even while that was happening, and knowing that I would have to readjust who I was and who he had called me to be. But that's the beautiful thing about life, is that God really uses every single thing we go through, every single thing we walk through. All I ever wanted to be when I was young was a preacher and a pastor, is what I loved. And I was a little 12-year-old with this Bible, and my first sermon I ever preached was from Revelation. You know, I went for the easy stuff. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the house of my Lord, and I will write on him a new name, and he will never leave the house of my Lord. But little did I know, I was just prophesying my future, in which I did get a new name, Bam. My name is Nathan, but everybody calls me Bam. In the spirit, this is God, like, opening that. So knowing at that age that that's what I would love to do, it's amazing. And then going through life and having disappointment, closing one church, and it's not even the first one that I've seen closed. It's the second one, because we planted a church and the same thing happened. And I'm working an awesome job, and I'm like, all right, God, what do I do with this purpose? How am I supposed to work out? On my birthday, Melissa texts me, happy birthday. What do you think about coming to speak? And I'm like, oh yeah, I love to preach. It's awesome when those who are around you who can see the things that are inside of you, even in times that you can't. And we are convinced that we are in the kingdom, that God has chosen us because we're productive. That's not why you're chosen, because you're productive. We are chosen because we are his. We are people of the spirit that get to move with him and be his representation on earth. So when she said, hey, you want to pick prayer or justice? I mean, that's like a cheese cup or chocolate cake. I don't know. Which one? At Portillo's, you know? They're both pretty good. So I went with the holier one, prayer. But I love to pray. My hope for today is that you will leave here with an awakening in your spirit for seeking out the Lord like you never have before. Because this is this prize and this present of his presence that we get to open every single day and every single moment. Why don't we? Because, you know, the first few days are going to be boring, simply stated. But God hides things that are the most beautiful in the plainest packaging. Because only those who are pure at heart shall see God. The verse that we just read is Jesus ministering in Bethsaida, which was a point around the Sea of Galilee. And he spends his time, when I think of Mark 5 and Mark 6, Mark is like an action movie. It's the only gospel that as soon as Jesus is mentioned, he's already blowing stuff up, you know, in a good way, you know what I'm saying? Cars exploding, it's, you know, all kind of action going on. As I heard someone say, he's a full-grown man with hair on his chest already. You know, and Matthew's a little baby, and he kind of, you know, grows, and you see this whole story, but Mark is like right to the action. And Mark 5 is no exception, and Mark 6. So Mark 5 starts with the scene of the man in the Gadarenes who comes to Jesus, and he casts the demons out of him. Then he goes right from there to the woman with the issue of blood, right from the woman with the issue of blood to heal Jairus' daughter, right from Jairus' daughter back on a boat to the other side of the lake to talk about the seed and the sower. From the seed and the sower, now he mentions this and multiplies this food. It was amazing. It had to be wonderful to experience this. He's in the middle of these explosions going off in the spirit in life. Everything, if this happened at a church, we would never leave. Just leave me there. And what does he say? It's time for me to go pray. What is that? What is that when you are experiencing the zenith of glory with God and it's manifesting in the earth, but you are going back to where your source is? What is that? How do we awaken that in ourselves? Some people think that God is not like us, or he's this austere, industrial robot that doesn't have feelings. But I think God has feelings. I think he has compassion. I think he has fear. I think God is afraid that when he gives us all that we want, we're going to forget about him. That when he provides us the very thing that we pray for, we're going to forget that he is the prize. And prayer is our opportunity to experience unfettered beauty with God, with him as the prize. This excitement is at a fever pitch. Everybody is amazing. I must go pray. He was focused on the heart that God had for him. And how can I be, how do I remember? So this is my prayer. God, how do I remember when all the good things happen that we all desire to happen? How do I remember that without you is nothing? It is by me remembering to continue to focus on him, like a child that loves to be with their parents, or your best friend that you love to be with them. This is the opportunity that Jesus has provided for us simply by tearing the veil. There's this verse by this quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. The great man is he who in the midst of the crowd keeps with perfect sweetness the independence of solitude. And in Exodus 34 and 14, where God is tired of Israel's idolatry. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. He just loves being with us so much. And I look throughout history and wonder, do we need any more evidence of this? That he's given us this book that is comprised of so many different authors from so many different eras, and it's the only thing that is remotely readable from ancient times. You ever try to read a Greek drama or tough read? That he has tied this thread of his spirit throughout history using scripture, sending his son, his only begotten son, all as a way to show how much he wants to be with us. You're gonna be my people. You're gonna be a holy nation. But like the Israelites in Moses' time, they said, Moses, you talk to God. He's a little scary. And God carries that through history. Okay, I'm scary. All right, I'm mean, I'm scary. How can I show him I'm not? I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send them my only son, and surely that will convince them that I wanna be with them more than anything, right? And how do we live in a world sometimes where the enemy tries to convince us that Jesus is still not enough? Prayer is this reminder of God opening the way for us through his son in the very power of the Holy Spirit. He just loves to hang out with us. I wake up sometimes early in the morning, I set my alarm, and then God wakes me up 10 minutes before my alarm. That ever happened to you? I'm like, I set the alarm so I can get up at that time. He's so excitable about us. And you guys are talking about what it means to be a person of the Spirit, what it means to be growing in this ever-increasing glory. But in order to grow in ever-increasing glory, that foundation needs to be right. That's why I love the way this series is set up. It starts with scripture. Then you go to prayer. Every prayer should work for scripture too. They work together in tandem. And before you ever go out to do justice or hospitality, that foundation needs to be solid. The same thing with prayer, that we pray in private with God so that when we go out, we understand what he's doing in the world. Oh, what a chaotic week we've had, people. Oh, what a chaotic week. What is God doing right now? What is he saying right now? But without me walking with him, I won't understand. And I won't see how he ultimately is going to get the glory. In scripture, the term his presence also means his face. To be in his presence is to gaze upon his face. All the people who are developed in private, from David to Ruth to Moses to Joshua to Jacob, all these titans of scripture who were developed in one moment with the Lord, time alone with him. And I mean, prayer can be pretty boring. I know it can be pretty boring and it seems like nothing is happening, but that's the point. Because then we would think it's of our own productivity that things are happening. You wouldn't need faith if it was just like a vending machine. And I think sometimes that's how we treat prayer. We go, if nothing happened, then it didn't work. If this door didn't open, God, it didn't happen. But why is Jesus calling us to be like children in the kingdom? I love being a kid. I tell my kids, enjoy being a kid. Because once the bills start, you can't go back. Enjoy it, love it, it's awesome. And I would love ever think about that day before the first day of school. Or the day before your birthday, or the day before Christmas, that feeling of excitement and anticipation. Don't you know that can happen every day? What? That seems silly. That we can anticipate being in his presence with him. Expectation is the belief that something is likely or certain to happen, often based on logic or past experience, while anticipation is a state of excited looking forward to something, often with a sense of wonder or emotional eagerness for the unknown outcome. While both words involve looking towards the future, anticipation is more active, emotional, and flexible state of mind, whereas expectation is a more passive, subjective, and rigid belief that can lead to disappointment if the imagined outcome isn't met. I'm praying like, God, you do this thing, and then I know that you're real. I'm gonna hold you hostage with my expectations. When anticipation is similar, but not exactly the same, that we can wake up with this excitement of, what is God gonna do today? And that's built in private with us, what may seem this rote practice of getting up or taking 15 minutes on your break. You got an hour break, take 15 minutes to turn your heart towards the Lord. But it's crazy. The most powerful practice that we have as believers is often untapped potential in every believer. That this spirit awakens in us when we take every opportunity that we can to converse with God. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. We can be his witness in his withness. Then we learn to have wonder in all that we see. I'm like, does it really take so much for us to get goosebumps, you know? Like, I need to win an Oscar or a Grammy or have this big ceremony in order for me to feel excited. Ooh, I got goosebumps. I felt my, ooh, that aura is good. Wow, ooh, that riz, that's amazing. You know, all these words that we have of good vibes, all that means is the Holy Spirit. Oh, I really feel the Christmas spirit right now. That's the Holy Spirit. You have such a great aura. Oh, wow. It's the Holy Spirit. The world, we are trying to always reproduce what is authentic. The presence of God and us walking with him. Psalm 16, 7 through 10 says, in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures evermore. Pleasures evermore? I mean, I know what Italian beef tastes like. This is like a Portillo's commercial today, I guess, but. I know what an explosion of flavor of, you know, Chicago mixed popcorn tastes like. I don't. At his right, is really all that we need at the right hand of God? This is serious business. It is. But can we find our sufficiency there? This sounds very spiritual. I know that I'm a preacher up here, and I say things that sound very impossible. Your job is very different. I work a job now where I go around the city, I drive a Sprinter van, and I help people learn more about their cholesterol. And God is in the seat next to me. He's with me, hanging out. And I love that about the Lord. He's so flexible. I think worship is whatever you can do in God's presence. You know what I'm saying? When that diaper hits your nose, you're like, ugh. Worship. Tough circumstances, situations you have to walk through, somebody passes away. You're disappointed, you didn't get the job, you didn't get into the school, you didn't find the thing that you thought you were gonna find. He's with us. And prayer is a reminder of that. I'm gonna read the entirety of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found his home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And that is true. It is almost this unfolding of his majesty with each moment with us. That it can be hard sometimes to think of the eternity that unfolds with every moment with him. How is that possible for us to love being with him, doing nothing more than we are when we are productive. You know what starts to happen personally? I'll let you in on a little secret. Everything kind of lines up when you get him first. There's a lot of scripture to back it up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? There are all those things that you worried about, that you fear about, that give you anxiety, that you are so concerned about. How's this going to work out? How's this going to happen? He's like, let me take it. You know, I can do that. Our life with him becomes practice of how to find them when we need them the most. But it's so difficult to yield. I know that's such a great spiritual word, yielding. It doesn't mean stopping. It just means like, you know, you just consider. You open your hands. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and landed on Jesus. Yielded, open. God, where are we going today? What are we doing today? How am I going to see yourself manifest today? I dare you to pray that prayer every day. God, what is it going to look like today with you? What is going to be the present of your presence today that you allow me to open? I know, just like Jesus praying on a mountain, that it was some great, amazing things going on. One of the toughest parts of the season that I've been in for the last couple years is understanding that when my life is yielded to the Lord, that it is, I'm an instrument. And sometimes I look like that. Sometimes I may be getting played. Other times I may be getting tuned. Other times I may be getting cleaned. But if I get my identity from only being played, then what happens when that's not that season? I love the things that God teaches us together in prayer, how to find him. I remember one day I was walking down the street and with a friend of mine, which I used to do some crazy stuff. I mean, I did crazy like college stuff, but I mean like crazy with Jesus stuff. Where I'm just like, all right, God, what neighborhood are we going to today? He's like, get on the train and go here. And I would get on the train, and I was like, tell me when to get off. Holy Spirit, okay, I'll get off and kind of walk around. And this one day, walking down the street, and someone is just hanging out on a corner, and I just felt the urge to ask them a question. And I said, if you had one wish, what would it be? And they said, to give my life to Jesus. I'm like, wow. That's what it must feel like for fish to jump in a boat. Or that's what it must feel like to have the inside information of the Spirit of where to be and where to go. And cultivating that with the Lord takes you on a wonderful adventure. We're living in a time, times that are perilous. I thought about naming this message, Prayer in Perilous Times, but that sounded more Spurgeon than anything, you know? The times that we live in need our prayer more than ever. And not a prayer of, am I gonna get this? Oh God, if you get me out of this situation. He's like, I mean, that's kind of a crappy prayer, but I guess I can. I miss you all the other 365 days of the year, but I guess we can work this out for you. That he so loves to be with us, but our desire to be with him is so fleeting. My challenge, my prayer for you is that you run to him when nothing is wrong. And what will happen is that becomes automatic when things seem to be wrong. I don't know if prayer really changes situations. I think it does actually sometimes, but mainly for me, what it does is it changes my perspective of it. I begin to be seated in heavenly places with Christ, who looks down on things from a different perspective. It doesn't seem like all these things are being piled upon his head with all of these weights. What is bothering Jesus right now? Not much. What is the Spirit of God concerned about? Not much. The more that I'm with him, I start to become like him. And anticipate only to be with him every single day. This is the glory that we seek for as people of the Spirit and people of God. That I would be, oh, I can't wait to get up tomorrow morning to be with him. And then what happens is all those things I was worried about, they just start to get worked out here somewhere. And you know what? It's in his timing. So I don't have to worry about, is it the right time? Should I do this? Is this the right guy? I don't know if it's the wrong guy. Is it the right job? I don't know if it's the right job. Should I do this right now? Should I walk this way? Should I go here? Should I do that? This world is so full of anxiety and fear. And in his presence, there is a fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. I promise you, when you seek him, you will find him. My daughter loves to play hide and go seek. I mean, she's like, another round, Daddy, please. Come on, please. And it's mostly she does the hiding and I do the seek. You good? And I think God loves playing hide and go seek with us too. That this world has so much pain for us. So much pain for us. But when I learn to hear his voice, I understand that it's not just pain. It's his kindness. Tough things happen, and I want God to redeem every situation. And the enemy forms things to go, look, there's some toughness. There's some pain there. Don't go over there. Be afraid of going over there. And God is like, I'm still there. His kindness is there for those who've learned to seek him out. In Zechariah 4:6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Zechariah and the people of Israel are so concerned about rebuilding the temple. Nothing is working. So many adversaries are in their way. How is this going to happen? And God says, I'm going to do it by my spirit. I'm going to bring you everything you need at the perfect time that you need it. I can track the time when my time with the Lord went off the rails. And that was when I got this nice little iPhone, you know? It's nice. And I'm not here to condemn anything or anyone. If you're feeling any guilt about your prayer life, that is not my goal. It is to remind you who you are. It's to wake up the very Spirit of God inside of you to pursue him with everything that you have and watch and imagine what he does by his Spirit. He always hides things in the most plain packages. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you that you are so wonderful to us and that you've called us into your kingdom to be people of the Spirit. And as our hearts are so open to you right now, I ask that you are speaking to those hearts, God, that of people who are searching for something, significance and meaning. We have a lot of people who pray who aren't very active, and we have a lot of people who are very active who don't pray. Let us be the people of the Spirit that before we move out into changing the world, that we solidify our relationship with you, God. That we solidify this heart of a father who just wants to be with us more than anything. And we love you today, Father. And I thank you that when we remember what it was like to be a child, is in that place we inherit the kingdom. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.